Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. This hour, we've got a Trash Tuesday in 15 minutes. And in 40 minutes, Peter King from Football Morning in America, NBC Sports, an esteemed football scribe, longtime football insider. We'll talk Aaron Rodgers' latest with Peter King coming up on the show in 40 minutes from now. I just gave you the would-be NBA postseason bracket. Regular season ends this weekend. Play-in tournament begins on Tuesday, a week from today. And then the playoffs in full begin a weekend after that. So a week from Saturday is when the postseason begins. This is what it would look like. The two play-in tournament games in the West, Memphis, San Antonio, Lakers, Golden State. So take two out of there to play the one-seeded Jazz and the two-seeded Suns. Your 3-6, Clippers, Blazers, 4-5, Nuggets, Mavs. In the East, your two play-in games right now, Pacers, Wizards, Celtics, Hornets. Take two out of there. One goes into the Sixers in the 1-8. One takes on the Nets in the 2-7. 3-6 Bucks Heat. 4-5 Knicks Hawks. Mraz, what's the tastiest first round matchup in your estimation?
Well, the Western Conference is the tastiest conference as far as top to bottom matchups. But, DA, for me, Heat Bucks. And with the Bucks losing last night to San Antonio, going back to the 3. We saw last year in the bubble the Heat upset Milwaukee. Milwaukee, every year with Giannis here in this core, we've kind of built into and bought into, is this going to be the year they make a run to the finals? That is a dangerous scenario for Milwaukee to be in if Miami catches fire a little bit, has the confidence they had in the bubble, and Milwaukee is a potential upset alert kind of team in the first round, knowing they have choked before in these spots. I would be fascinated by Milwaukee in Miami in the first round.
Yep, it would be a great one. I'm going to go with whoever the Lakers play in the first round, and here's why. All three potential scenarios are really good. If the Lakers win in a 7-8 matchup, let's just say against the Warriors, they slide into the 7 seed, and then a 2-7 matchup, Lakers-Suns first round. Lakers getting healthy, defending champs against Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and the revitalized Suns team. Fascinating. If they lose that game, but then beat whoever comes out of the 9-10, they slide into the 8 seed. Again, a Lakers team getting healthy against a Jazz squad who's been the best team in basketball all season long. Fascinating. If the Lakers avoid the 7 or the 8 and get the 6, they would take on the Clippers in the first round. Battle of L.A., a chance for the Clippers' swoon of the postseason to rear its ugly head again. So to me, whoever the Lakers play out West is going to be absolutely fascinating. Obviously, this week we are tracking the seeding and the jockeying for the seeding. And then coming up next week, we'll be talking about NBA playoffs. Speaking of the playoffs, the Celtics season is effectively done because the Celtics right now have dropped out of the top six. They're the seven seeds. They would play in the playing games, but does it even really matter? Because they have now lost Jaylen Brown for the rest of the season. He had to have surgery yesterday. So another huge blow for a Celtics team that has been treading water all season long. Boston came into this year with expectations that they could contend, they can compete with the big boys of the East. We knew that the Nets were going to be really interesting because they were going to get Kevin Durant back, and they, of course, already had Kyrie. We didn't know about James Harden. We thought that the Bucks would once again be a contender, and they are. And we figured that perhaps with Doc Rivers there, the Sixers could take that next step, and they have. Those three have done what we've expected largely. The Celtics were supposed to be in that conversation and weren't all year. Bizarre losing streaks, ineffective, unemotional, dispassionate play, tuning out Brad Stevens, and injuries as well, plus an uninspired surge at the trade deadline to get somebody big and coming up with Evan Fournier. I mean, nothing really worked for the Celtics this season. And now they've lost Jaylen Brown for the rest of the campaign, however long it goes. There's been moments where Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum did seem like they were taking the next step, but then there's been times where they just looked like they really couldn't take on the brunt of the responsibility of leading this team. And Kemba Walker has been injury prone. The loss of Gordon Hayward, didn't think it was going to be a huge deal. Hayward's played like an all-star in Charlotte. It's just been one hit after another for the Celtics. And Jeff Goodman, basketball insider, who joined us during college basketball's March Madness, who I really, really like, and we've enjoyed having on the show, was on NBC Sports Boston last night, and he was talking about this injury. And I had not heard anybody else say this, and I said, we've got to play this on the show. Here is Goodman.
A lot of people are going to use this as an excuse. This team doesn't need an excuse. They showed enough in a large enough sample that they weren't good enough this year. And again, I do think changes need to be made. I love Brad Stevens as a human being. I love him as a coach. I've known him since he was an assistant coach at Butler. But I think maybe the time has come that parting ways is good, not only for the Celtics, but also for Brad Stevens.
Whoa! Wowie! Whoa, whoa, whoa! This is the first opinion that I've heard of somebody who is clearly a Brad Stevens fan, not a Brad Stevens hater, somebody who is clearly a fan calling for the Celtics to part ways with Brad Stevens. Now, there's been frustrated Celtics fans this year that said he was overrated, frustrated Celtics media people over the years that said he was boy wonder but wasn't really a good coach. Bogish and Cap have flamed me and Mraz many times over for discrediting Brad Stevens. It's not Brad Stevens' fault. He's been to three Eastern Conference finals. How can you overlook that? He gets more out of this team than anybody else could. He'd have a job tomorrow if he was fired. I mean, don't say anything bad about Brad Stevens to Brad Stevens fans. Woo! There's hell to pay. Here's Jeff Goodman, who says, I love Brad Stevens as a human. I'm a big Brad Stevens fan. But the time has come to part ways, both for the team and for the coach. First part, Jaylen Brown out. Celtics season, toast. Over. Dunsky. Had Jaylen Brown been healthy, there still was going to be a rough uphill climb for the Celtics in the playoffs. Could they get out of the play-in games? If they did, could they do anything against the one or the two? Hypothetically, the Nets or the Sixers? Probably not. Probably one round and done. But now it's official. They're not going anywhere. They'd be lucky to even make the playoffs without Jaylen Brown. Maybe they'll win one of these games, but they're going to be five games now. If they win one game of the first round against either the Nets or the Sixers, that means they would have won two games, one play-in and one of the first round. That's their ceiling. Their season's over, toast, Dunsky. But is this the moment where, because this season flamed out so dramatically, that they would cut bait with Stevens, or is this the built-in excuse? Hey, didn't even have Jaylen Brown in the playoffs. Mraz, I heard this from Jeff Goodman last night doing some research, reading about the injury, and said, whoa, is this the first of many? We're going to be a lone voice of the media that loves Brad Stevens' boy wonder, but is finally going to admit, take a hike, it ain't working in Boston.
It's refreshing to hear Goodman say this, because it shouldn't have taken this long to say this, because every year we get here, and it's kind of like when you guys rank on me for the Yankees, it's amazing what Celtics fans are settling for, which is constantly just an excuse why they can't get to a finals every year. And LeBron now has been out of the East for what, 2 years?
3 years now.
3 years
now? This is the third year.
Third year. Okay. Celtics haven't sniffed an NBA finals. This was supposed to be their turn to jump in there. And this year, yeah, Jalen Brown's a nice excuse now, but they were nowhere near the top four. I mean, they let the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks have better regular seasons than them this year. So how many times could you play, though, well, Tatum missed games, Brown missed games, play all the in? It's always an excuse when it comes to Brad Stevens' Celtics. He's supposed to be the one that gets the most juice out of all of these guys and gets them going. He's turned down how many of these magical offers we could have seen in college basketball because he's that committed to the Boston Celtics, but should the Celtics be that committed to him? I don't think so.
Imagine that Brad Stevens turned down $70 million reportedly from Indiana and then gets fired from the Celtics. I mean, imagine the idea that he turned down that deal was that he wants to stay in Boston. Now, I don't think he'll be fired. I don't. I don't think that Danny Ainge is going to pull the trigger and fire him, because I think Ainge likes Stevens too much. Ownership likes Stevens too much. I don't think they blame Stevens for all of this. And they're incredibly patient. So I don't think this will lean towards firing Stevens. But I will say, going into next year, that should be a very hot seat. Stevens should have next year to prove he's actually the great coach that so many people assume that he is. He's gone to 3 Eastern Conference Finals, and there's something to be said for that. There's also something to be said for, are they getting better or worse? Because this year was a big step back, huge step back. And he never had the ear of this team. They got those lottery picks in Tatum and Brown, and this was supposed to be the next NBA dynasty, at the very least the next Eastern Conference dynasty. LeBron's been out of the East for 3 years now. LeBron was injured year number one, won the championship year number two. This is year number three. The Celtics still will be without an NBA Finals appearance since the Big Three was there decade ago. 2010 was the last time the Celtics were even in the NBA Finals. Stevens, you could argue, has been good, but not great. I don't think he gets fired. I think he ends up, though, he should be on the hot seat going into next year with a real ultimatum. I mean, look, you've got to prove that we're one of the three best teams of the East, and I would say you got to prove we're one of the two best teams of the East. Maybe it's impossible, if the Nets stay together, to be better than the Nets next year talent-wise, but the Celtics can't be the seven seed, and that's the thing about this injury. It's convenient now. This has been a lost season anyway. Even with Jaylen Brown, this team was going to be one and done in the playoffs. And that should be unacceptable for this franchise coming into this season. That's the thing, Mraz. This year we've been documenting it week in, week out, month in, month out. It was going to end in an explosion anyway. This just gives them the convenient, oh, they didn't have Jaylen Brown at the end. It doesn't erase the fact that for 65 to 68 games, they've been mediocre. They've been the seventh seed of the East. That can't happen.
Yeah, and I know Gordon Hayward got hurt, but he signs with the Hornets, who might end up beating the Celtics in this play-in game anyway. And all the, you know, pour on Kyrie Irving. He was the toxic part of that locker room. He ruined Brad Stevens' Celtics. They got rid of him, and there's a chance the Brooklyn Nets end up winning an NBA championship with Kyrie Irving this year. How toxic could that have been? When you throw in all these outer elements of past excuses when it came to Brad Stevens, this does not look good on his resume. And I'll tell you who doesn't want to hear from Goodman right now. That's Mike Woodson. Last thing Mike Woodson wants is to hear all this comment before he even coaches a game in Indiana, because you never know what could happen this summer.
That's a good point. If the Celtics did cut bait with Stevens, I mean, certainly the Hoosiers faithful would be like, sorry, ripping up that contract for Mike Woodson. Brad, come on down.
Mike, a word?
How would you feel about associate AD overseeing women's lacrosse? When we come back here on the DA show, it's a Trash Tuesday. We're taking out our trash. I can't wait. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Brad, lead us off on a Trash Tuesday. Who are you trashing?
I'm trashing strawberries. Here I am, DA. It's springtime. It's summertime. I am trying. I made the Admiral's Feast comment last hour. I am trying to do the right thing and introduce different fruits, different vegetables into my life. I've been gone in the blending a smoothie game for some breakfast or maybe some post-gym workout stuffs. Strawberries, bananas, blueberries, maybe a little scoop of peanut butter. With a little, exactly. I'm shaking it all up. I'm doing it. The problem is, DA, I keep buying the damn strawberries. You get the bundle of them. 3 days later, I got mold growing on them. They don't stay fresh long enough. Now I'm being told maybe you should freeze them, then blend them, maybe just buy the frozen ones. Here's the thing. You want somebody to eat healthy. You want them to eat the fruits and vegetables. You got to have bang for the buck here. You can't have things go bad so quickly. You can't have me having to now work, make an extra trip to the store during the week to get more strawberries. I've had it enough with the fruits. You know what doesn't go bad on me? M&Ms. I could put them in a smoothie. I'd be just fine. Enough with these strawberries going bad so quick.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Maybe you're buying old strawberries from the grocery store that only has 3 days left.
From a guy in a van outside Costco.
Every day I'm buying the old strawberries. How about they put new strawberries out? Enough.
Your strawberries the fridge are getting mold within 3 days. Maybe your fridge is too warm.
How come nothing else gets moldy? Everything else is fine. My lettuce is fine. My lettuce don't go bad. My spinach doesn't go bad. It's strawberries. And then I talk to other people who buy strawberries. They're like, oh, yeah, strawberry shelf life very quick. What the heck? Then why am I buying them? It's a flush of money down the toilet.
Are you washing the strawberries as a whole when you bring them home and put them in your fridge? Are you running them under water before that?
Wash them now? What's with all the work? I didn't know I had to wash them. I figured once they went in with the ice and the liquid in the smoothie, that counted as a wash.
I'm asking because you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to wash off the entire thing. You're supposed to wash them as you use them. So if you were washing all of them, that might have led to the mold.
No.
But I guess if not wash them at all, you're safe on that front.
No, I'm out. I can't. Again, if I buy a fruit, that should do the work for me. I'm not doing any extra work with fruit.
Yeah. You tell that fruit. You tell those vegetables. Unless you're going to work for me, I ain't eating you. I'm going to eat more buffalo chicken dip.
Exactly. Another thing doesn't go moldy on me.
I mean, you will slave over a crock pot for 12 hours for buffalo chicken dip. But the moment vegetables need washing, you need them to do the work for you.
Well, again, bang for your buck. That's all I'm saying.
Which Coca-Cola am I dousing my ribs in?
Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
DA, it happened again, so this is partially my fault. I should have learned my lesson. I hadn't gotten a haircut still since you guys saw the pictures and the video of me at Fordham introducing their new coach a couple of weeks ago.
Loved it.
Kept forgetting to do it. He didn't have time. Finally had a window Saturday. I had promised to you guys that I needed to find an actual person to cut my hair, not just a barber. I needed to go fancier. Didn't find that person yet. Went back to the barber. Walked in Saturday. The guy I would normally go to had a person in his chair and three people waiting for him. So I said, you know what? I'm going two chairs down. I need to get this done finally. So I sit down. The guy goes, what do you want? I go, I liked it long. Don't even just trim, not even a full haircut, just clean this up around my ears in the back. No buzzer? I go, no, scissors only. Okay, fine. I proceed to be in the chair for, I don't know, 40 minutes, 3 hours, I don't know. All of that hair that I had through hard work and laziness, 80% of it now is gone. I have a haircut that I think is made for somebody on Bravo. Like, it's really short on the sides. I got a little lettuce on top. I'm supposed to, I think, like, gel and flip to a side or something. I'm 41 years old with two kids and a bald spot. I don't need a cool haircut. I need an old man haircut. And this guy gave me why? They only know one thing. One length, one style, that's it. And I got burned again.
Does Katie like it?
She likes it, yes. And it doesn't, I don't necessarily think it looks terrible. I just liked having all of that hair, and now it's all gone, and I got to start again.
Trash them.
This must be garbage time.
The bogus Paulie Walnuts cut was so good. And you're right, you had worked on that for more than a year, right? That was a pandemic cut.
I mean, I think this is only my fourth haircut in however long this has been now, in 14 months.
So it's going to take you... All right, so it wasn't a full year that you grew that out. It's like 4 or 5 months, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds like a good time frame. It was definitely multiple months, at least 3, if not 4, of untouched.
It was looking so good. It was looking so good. I will say that I think your haircut looks good right now on Zoom.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm thankful that it doesn't look ugly, but I miss my hair already. And like when I wash it and I run my fingers through it and there's nothing there, it's really deflating.
Cry me a river.
Must be nice to have hair, huh, Marez?
Yeah. Oh, man. I miss the feeling of getting a haircut. Rub your hand through it? I can rip my hand up like sandpaper up here. Awesome. Sob somewhere else, pal.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Hello, guys. I am trashing something that is near to and dear to our hearts for the last day or so. Trashing the mediocre reporter that decided to enable Peter Schwartz. That's the last thing we all needed, is for this guy's stupidity to enable Peter Schwartz, making him look like he is Walter Cronkite. Get him out.
Overflowing landfill.
Yeah, we got to talk about this at some point on this morning's show. Pete had to give a public service announcement about the battle that he was having on Twitter with this fringe media member yesterday, which was the subject of Meat on the Bone. Guys, on Saturday, we threw up a birthday party for my sister. So she had her friends come over, and her friends, a couple of their husbands came over. So I was meeting some people for the first time, but we were happy to have everybody at our house. So we had some people outside of the deck, and we had some people inside. And as it got colder at night, everybody kind of came inside. And we have a bathroom right off of the kitchen that everybody was using, this kind of half bath. So party's going great. I smoked a couple of ribs for everybody. Also smoked a little bit of salmon. I was having a few beers, chips, salsa, what have you. Really good time. Everybody's having a good time. I have not even told my wife this. One of the husbands pulls me aside and goes, "Hey, DA, can I talk to you?" I go, "Yeah, sure. What's up?" He goes, "Hey, I really got to go to the bathroom. And I don't want to blow up the bathroom that everybody's going into. So do you have like one like off the side that I can like really like go to town on?" Now, when I tell you this, I'm cleaning it up for air. He basically said, "Can I take a bleeping bleep? I got to take a bleeping bleep." And I'm like, I don't even know you. And I'm like, okay, you just told me you wanted to blow up my bathroom. And that was he said, I don't want to blow up this bathroom, whatever he's going into. So I'm like, well, what do? I can't have this guy go up to use the bathroom upstairs that like me and the Bourbon Bell use, like our bathroom. So I've got to shuffle him and point him in the direction of the guest bathroom off of the guest bedroom because there's a window in there. I'm like, okay, buddy, you got to open up this window, light this candle. You got to use like, because it's not far from the kitchen and where everybody is. And so I'm just like, I don't even want to hear this or know this. And I couldn't look at this guy the same way the entire time he was here. And I could not tell my wife yet. So-and-so said he was going to blow up our bathroom. Now, it was reminiscent of when Marez at one of my birthday parties actually went into the one bathroom that I had and did blow it up and was proud of blowing it up and stunk up the whole apartment. Everyone was like, oh, God. Whereas like, yeah, that was good, man. He was like John Belushi strolling out of this. That was great. But I'm like, this guy's, why didn't he just pull me aside and say, hey, I got a situation. Can I take care of it in a different bathroom? I'd be like, yeah, sure. But do you have to say, I want to blow up your bathroom? I got to take a bleep and bleep? I'm like, dude, I don't know you. Trash him.
Hey, man, that was good, man.
Ew, that garbage bag is leaking.
Well, at least you know you had plenty of candles in the house.
The one thing, and I kept that window open the entire night. I was like, it's a little cool in here, a little chilly. I'm like, yeah, yeah, we just got to get a breeze going in. I'm like, oh, my God, well, this guy.
If I may, yeah, was this and you post may. Was this post eating the smoked salmon and ribs?
Yes,
or was this a pregame meal?
Nope, nope. This was post that meal. Did I factor into this by smoking meats?
Maybe you could have just laid off the smoker. Maybe a little catered a la vodka would have done.
I didn't know anybody was going to need to, quote, blow up a bathroom.
And I have one more follow-up as a reporter who is very interested in this kind of genre, if you will. Uh-huh. Bigger guy or lighter guy?
Medium-sized. He was probably my height, but a little thicker than me.
All right, that's a win for me, because normally when a situation like that happens, immediately people assume slobs that Todd Frazier would call out.
What's the proper thing here, Mraz? You're at a house party, of course, at my birthday. You were proudly peacocking, blowing up my bathroom, but what's the proper protocol 7 years later?
I'm a little more mature than I was then. I think the proper protocol would be this. I think his heart might be in the right place. Doesn't want to go snooping around your house to look for another bathroom, because that would kind of be rude, too. I think what you got to do, you just got to take care of business in that bathroom that you've been using. Wait, look underneath the door, make sure nobody's waiting outside it. Get out, and then let everybody talk smack like normal people on the ride home. Can you believe John over there did that to the bathroom? And just ignore it like it didn't happen. Use the bathroom. That's it.
I've definitely done this search when you don't want to use the main bathroom, and you're like, oh, there's one upstairs, thank goodness. I mean, you certainly can't go into like a master suite bathroom. No. You can't do that. But like, if everyone's downstairs and there's an upstairs bathroom and you happen to just wander up there, I think that's the safe play. But also, things are different now because of COVID. Like, you know, when we've had people come to our backyard, like, we have one bathroom that's behind me that, like, I'll clean for everyone that's coming by. But like, you can't now walk past that bathroom and go upstairs to use the other one, because everyone's house is like a fortress now. So that's a whole COVID other wild concerns. Part here.
I should have just brought it a porta potty. Yeah, go use the porta john outside.
Well,
go find a tree outside.
Yeah, you got 15 acres of woods behind your house. Can the guy go with the bears back there?
No kidding. No kidding. Hey, man, blow up my backyard all you want.
Right.
Just not the bathroom.
Nobody will know if that's from an animal or him by the time your papa gets back there to chop some wood. Who knows?
Blow up the lawn. It's all yours. No. You got all that
lawn. The lawn's not a good idea.
I just cut all that the other day. There it is. One big piece of Scott's turf for you to do whatever you need. But can you just lay off the bathroom that's right off of the kitchen? Right off of the kitchen. Disgusting.
Great lead-in for Peter King here, folks.
We want your trashes. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Daryl tweets, I'm trashing the coffee lid dispenser at the gas station. It squeezes so tight the lid splits when you try to get one. Have to get about five of them in order to get one that won't leak. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Charlie Sheen just dumped that on the set of Men at Work.
Kyle, who has made fun of his wife for being, quote, big as a house when she was pregnant, tweets, DA, beam me up. I'm trashing my stepkids, Luke and Mark. They're 8 and 9 with a mentality of 3 and 4-year-olds. They're going to be bums by 20. Get them out. What a joke. They stupid. Trash them.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
Scoring at home, Kyle's now trashed his pregnant girlfriend and her kids. So things are going great in that household.
At least he didn't have smoked salmon.
Andrew Bogish has our headline of this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
D.A. Russell Westbrook has done what we thought was impossible twice now. He first matched Oscar Robertson's feat of averaging a triple-double for an entire season, and now he has passed the Big O for the most career triple-doubles.
You put so much into the game. You put so much time. You sacrifice so much to put into the game and to be able to just be mentioned with guys like Oscar and Magic and Jason Kidd and those guys, it's just something that I never would have dreamed about as a young kid growing up in L.A.
Westbrook making history with 28 points, 13 rebounds, and 21 assists for career triple-double number 182. But his Wizards lose to the Hawks 125-124, are now 10th in the East, a half game behind the Pacers, who beat the Cavs 111-102. The win moves the Hawks within a half game of the Knicks for the 4th spot. The Warriors fought off the Jazz 119-116 to stay a half game up on Memphis for 8th out West. The Grizzlies outscored the Pels, 115-110. Memphis and Golden State have clinched spots in the play-in tourney. Milwaukee's five-game win streak ending in San Antonio, 146-125. And the Blazers hammered the Rockets, 149-120. Portland a half game behind Dallas for fifth, a game and a half ahead of the Lakers for number six. Those Lakers expected to have LeBron on the floor against the Knicks this evening. He's missed their last four games after playing two, after missing 5 weeks with that ankle injury. And Celtics guard Jaylen Brown does need surgery for a torn wrist ligament. He is done for the season. Just five games in baseball last night. Arizona snapped a six-game losing streak, 5-2 over Miami. The Giants 3, the Rangers 1, and the Reds roughed up the Pirates 14-1. The Angels scored 4 in the 6th to win in Houston 5-4, and the O's beat the Red Sox 4-1 to avoid a four-game sweep. And there are still a few things to decide in the NHL regular season, like the top spot in the West Division.
Near side, Newhook, backhand pass in front, score! It's in! It's in! Whose is it? It might be JT Comper. Get out the phone and call JT Comper, 877 goals now. Operators are standing by and tell them the Avalanche have a 2-1 lead.
That's Connor McGehee on Az Radio. Colorado, a 2-1 win in Vegas to pull within 2 points of those Golden Knights for first place with two to play. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, Peter King on the Aaron Rodgers situation. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
Otis O.J. Anderson. Otis, my good man.
Good morning, D.A., and welcome to the mothership.
I'm guessing that you're a Parliament Funkadelic fan as well?
Come on, man. Call the slot. Come on, give it to me.
Yeah!
For the party, baby.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Loved having O.J. Anderson here on the show. Loving the Parliament Funkadelic music that we play oftentimes here on the program. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. On hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. Stream us, use the radio.com app, which is now the Odyssey app, or the CBS Sports app as well, to listen to us every single morning. Joining us here on the show, he is the author of Football Morning in America and a longtime member of NBC Sports, one of the most esteemed football writers in the country. Peter King is our guest. Peter, good morning. How you doing?
Damon, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. And all eyes are on the Aaron Rodgers situation. From what we've gathered, the Jordan Love draft pick rubbed him the wrong way, and then perhaps not keeping Kumaro on the roster at the end of training camp last year. But those were months ago. Did you have a sense during the season that this was going to end up in DEFCON 4, or is this a recent revelation?
No, never. I didn't have any idea. I'm not close to Rodgers at all. So it's not like he would be telling me things that he's not telling anybody else. I mean, so I would say that first, but no, I didn't hear anything about his dissatisfaction. He obviously is a quirky guy, and I don't know how many people in our business really know him. But I never had any idea that it rose to this level of anger. In fact, you know, last year around the time of the draft, right after the draft, I had heard that he was really ticked off that they picked Jordan Love. And he quasi-denied it, but didn't really deny it. And now it seems like all the anger traces back to that. And not only picking a quarterback, I honestly don't think that picking a quarterback is that big of an issue to Aaron Rodgers. I think ignoring the wide receiver position for so long, I think, six drafts in a row, they didn't pick a receiver in the first either three or four rounds of the draft. And so, look, I just think there's an accumulation of things. But honestly, Damon, I think the biggest part of this is that he just doesn't feel valued. You know, he doesn't feel like for a player of his stature that people on the Packers in the front office really value his opinion very much. and or want to know what his opinion is. And I think that bugs him. The Kumerow example is a great example. Like that, you know, to me, and I'll just put it in this way. If you were practicing with a group of wide receivers all along, and you knew which ones, in your opinion, got open the best, were physical when they were making cuts, if need be, when, you know, and all this. If you felt really good about those guys, in my opinion, I don't understand why, at the time the rosters are being cut on Labor Day weekend, I do not understand why you don't just say to Rodgers, hey, listen, here's what we're doing. Give us your input on this. I would want to know what my quarterback thought of the receivers before the cutdown date and during the season. If we had to promote a receiver from the practice squad or go out of the organization to go get a receiver somewhere, I would want to know what Aaron Rodgers thought. And I continue to think that this is probably one of the ways that the Packers could put the genie back in the bottle in telling Rodgers that they're going to be focused on him to give more input for team events, I should say, that involve him.
So I struggle with this because I, like you, thought that, well, you should listen to the quarterback. You should listen to what Rodgers' preferences are. And drafting Jordan Love last year is obviously going to rub him the wrong way. But I struggle with this part. You know, Devontae Adams is one of the best wide receivers in football. And the wide receivers weren't really a problem last year. They had really good depth. They have a really good running back. They went to back-to-back NFC championship games. They seem to hire a really good coach. So how much can we really blame the front office for, quote, not supporting Aaron Rodgers?
That's a really good question. I guess what I would say is that I think Allen Lazard is a good NFL receiver. I think Devontae Adams is a great NFL receiver. After that, if you think of it this way, Damon, right now in the NFL, I think the figure is that 71% of the snaps last year in the NFL, 71% involved three or more wide receivers on the field, at the same time. It's not good enough, in my opinion, to have one great receiver, one good receiver, and then a bunch of flotsam after that. You know, and I think guys like Aaron Rodgers, and I would say Russell Wilson too, I think they look at what happens when Tom Brady goes to Tampa, and when Tom Brady looks at his team and they're injured at receiver, and Tom Brady goes in, and I don't know if pleading is the right word, but Tom Brady goes into Bruce Arians and Jason Light, general manager, and says, we would be so much better right now if we got Antonio Brown. And so they signed Antonio Brown. Now, I talked to Arians that weekend when they did it, and Arians absolutely insisted to me, and I take Bruce Arians at his word that, yes, of course Tom Brady wanted him, but this is a decision we made as a team. Now, I'm sure that that's correct, but I guess what I am saying, if they didn't have Brady waving the pom-poms for Antonio Brown, would they have done that? And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. If you look at the draft last year, the last 2 years, really, and they did take a receiver at the end of the third round this year, Amari Rodgers from Clemson. But if you look at the draft the last 2 years, they were historically great at the wide receiver position, and Brian Gutekunst never took one. And so I didn't take one prominently. I forget whether he took one late in 2019 or not, but last year he didn't take one at all. And look, those kind of things are open for discussion about why teams do certain things. And I am not arguing with you in any way. I think this organization has supported Aaron Rodgers well. But I do think that there are ways to support him better. and to do the right thing for the organization, too. And in two historically great drafts for wide receivers and not picking one, you know, prominently, in my opinion, what that is saying is, hey, look, Aaron is the rising tide that lifts all boats. We don't really need to take a receiver here. So I think that's where Rodgers gets frustrated. And look, I had somebody out there tell me last week, how angry should Aaron Rodgers be with the highest scoring team in football last year? And I get it. I totally, absolutely get it. So there are issues that you can argue on both sides of this.
Yeah, I think that's well put. Peter King joins us this morning here on the show from NBC Sports. If he ends up in either Denver or Las Vegas, apparently two of his preferred destinations, can he win big there being in the same division as Patrick Mahomes, or does he automatically take a step down from championship aspirations that he has in Green Bay?
I think, personally, I think wherever he went, he'd win big. Now, when I say win big, would you beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Would you beat the resurgent Chargers? I can't tell you that. I mean, if you look at what he has been dealing with in the NFC North, you know, he's been dealing with a team that consistently has struggled at quarterback in Chicago. He's been dealing with two other teams that have good quarterbacks, but just have never put it all together in Minnesota and Detroit. And if he goes to a division with the Kansas City Chiefs in it, I mean, I don't know who's going to win the division, but I'll tell you what, I like their chances a lot better than I like them with Drew Lock or with Teddy Bridgewater, obviously. But having said that, I don't know what's going to happen, but I guess I would just make this point. And I understand how logical it is for everybody to wonder, okay, what are the teams he could go to? So let's start trying to figure out the teams. Well, of course Denver would be interested, and I do believe that Vegas would be interested too. But at the end of the day, it takes two to tango, and it's going to take an absolute earthquake for President Mark Murphy, GM Brian Gutekunst, to trade Aaron Rodgers to anybody.
That's fascinating. Peter King joins us this morning on the show. There's so much going on around the NFL aside from just Aaron Rodgers, and his Football Morning in America column is up right now about the upcoming schedule release as well on Wednesday night. That's tomorrow night. We get to see the NFL schedule, and Peter has some guesses on the potential opener with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a really good read. I highly encourage you to check it out. It is a great primer for all football fans. You can follow him on Twitter at Peter_King. He's tweeted it out a couple of times recently. Check it out for NBCSports.com as well. Peter, it's always great to pick your brain. Thanks so much for doing it with us this morning. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Damon. Thank you.
You too. Peter King joining us this morning here on the show. Excellent stuff. And keep that in the back of your noggin. It's going to take an absolute earthquake for Mark Murphy to trade Aaron Rodgers. People may be assuming that it's going to happen because Rodgers is so uncomfortable or making things uncomfortable, or Rodgers is playing this whole thing through the media. There's Peter King saying it's going to take an absolute earthquake, quote unquote, for Mark Murphy to trade Aaron Rodgers. So file that away in the category of Peter's not one that believes this is imminent. And that he did say there was a way to put the genie back into the bottle by giving Rodgers more say in the personnel. And I think that that's right. That's why I did say I think that that's well put. I think that the Packers have supported him well, but there's ways to support him better. Davante Adams is phenomenal. They've got a good wide receiving core, maybe not a great one. Can you be better there? Sure. They signed big pass rushers a couple of years ago. That worked out. They've got a good running back. They've got a good head coach. But can they give him more say in personnel? Yeah. And can they be more aggressive with wide receivers and creating depth there? Sure. And listening to what Rodgers' preferences are is important. I agree with all of that. When we return, Bob Baffert issues the worst excuse in horse racing history.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.